Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to our new feature on thesportsvirus.com, Warriors Extra, with our field reporter, Ryan Leong. There's a lot of excitement, of course, with the Warriors on a record pace as far as their record is concerned. It's going to be great to watch them here at the end of the season. Our interest is very high for the rest of the regular season to see about the record and then the playoffs, of course. And joining us now is Ryan Leong, who is our reporter here on thesportsvirus.com, and will be doing podcasts the rest of this season on the Golden State Warriors. Ryan, welcome aboard. You've got Jim Barnett today. That must have been a thrill, the great analyst on Comcast. Tell us about what it's like to talk to Jim and the atmosphere around Warriors basketball right now.
Well, Jim is just like the Warriors themselves. I mean, he's an extension of the team. The team is very passionate. Jim is very passionate. He's been involved with the organization since the early 1970s. And I think he's the best judge to really evaluate the Warriors just because of his affiliation not only with the team, but he played alongside Rick Barry. He called the games for Chris Mullin as a broadcaster, and now he's calling Stephen Curry's games as well.
Yeah, he does such a great job. Really enjoy watching him along with Bob Fitzgerald. Let's talk about what's been going on with the team, because even though the record has been great, they're still on a good pace here to break the Chicago Bulls record. They went through a little stretch here recently where they were not playing good basketball. Obviously, the Lakers game, that was pretty much a disaster. They couldn't make any shots or turning the ball over all over the place. And then, you know, the Orlando Magic, they won that game, but they didn't really play that well. It seemed like they got back on track against the Utah Jazz. Do you think that just at some point in the season, you're going to have a little bit of a lull? You know, you're not going to be able to play perfect basketball the whole time?
Absolutely. I mean, the Warriors have done so well. I mean, here it is. I mean, they're on pace for the best record ever. I mean, kind of hard to put that into words, right? I mean, the NBA goes back to 1946.
Right.
So we're talking, what, 70 years? And so, you know, in 70 years, here it is, the Warriors are chasing a record that, you know, was the best record 20 years ago. And they're doing it now. And they're getting some criticism, too, I think, which is unfair because the rules have changed somewhat. You can't foul as hard as you used to, and defenses have changed a lot as far as, you know, basketball goes. But I tell you, if you ask the Warriors, you know, the rules fit them just fine because they're able to make clamp down on defense on the other teams and prevent them from getting open shots. So, you know, I think everything actually is very fair in the Warriors' favor, both on defense and on offense. And I just think it's unfair that they've gotten some of the criticism they received, most notably, which I mentioned in the interview a little bit, is Oscar Robertson, most recently the famous point guard for the Cincinnati Royals, who criticized Steph Curry for some of his long-distance shots. But, hey, you know, you got to remember, the three-point line has only been in existence since the late 1970s. So, you know, back in his day, if you launched a 50-footer, you'd still only get 2 points.
I can understand some of the criticism. I'm not going to go out there and say, oh, you know, I'm criticizing the Warriors here. But I understand that when you see some of these shots, when they're not falling, if you just took the Lakers game and you never watched the Warriors and you just watched that game and the shots weren't falling, you know, they're a lot of times not taking good shots. They're throwing out to a three instead of taking maybe an easier two, and maybe they get sloppy at times. But, you know, for the most part, they're making these shots. Steph Curry's on an incredible run here. Just the statistics showing the field goal percentage from three is out of this world, and he makes shots from almost half court, or he did from half court the other day. So do you think that maybe this is just a unique team, that they can do things differently than the old-timers think, and they can get away with it?
Absolutely, Joe, especially Curry. Curry's percentage, get this, from beyond 30 feet, he's making 48% of his shots.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's insane. I mean, you couldn't even hope for that if you're just shooting a normal 23-footer, which is the normal three-point line. I mean, here it is. He's going 30 feet and beyond. So he's going way downtown, and he's making these shots. I mean, this guy practices a long-distance shot all the time. It's become must-see, you know, theater to go to a Warriors game and get there right when the arena opens at 6 o'clock for a 7:30 tip to watch Curry. I mean, I have this routine down, okay? The guy comes out from the locker room. He gets to the Warriors bench. He puts one, you know, he starts tying his shoelaces. That's the first thing he does. He starts his dribbling routine, which has, you know, become pretty famous. I've videoed it many times myself. Then he starts shooting, you know, mid-range shots. Then he starts shooting three-pointers. Then he starts shooting three-pointers from, like, near half court. And then he tops it off. Usually, if the Warriors are practicing where their team bench is, he'll do what's known as a tunnel shot, right? And so he'll try to take the shot from the tunnel, and he takes five shots. And once in a while, he makes it, and the crowd goes nuts. So this has become, again, like I said, like must-see theater. So, I mean, it's amazing. I've covered the Warriors now since the late 90s when this team was absolute garbage. And they're so fun to watch now. I myself have become sucked in. I mean, I didn't even go to the the Curry warm-ups until about halfway through the season, and now I can't stop going. So,
it's amazing at the time of this recording that, you know, they haven't lost at home. What is it now, 46 straight games that they haven't lost at home. That's amazing. The other thing is that they have 6 losses at the time of this recording, and those losses, I mean, they're – could be an excuse, really, for every one of them. I mean, you know, you look at the first one, that was because they just played a double overtime game, and they were on the road, that long trip. And the only one, really, I think, where they had everybody healthy was the Portland game after the All-Star break. Other than that, seems like the other losses that they've had, the other 5 losses, there's always been an excuse of that. There's been somebody out, including, you know, Andre Iguodala for that Lakers game. And I think they missed him in that game.
Yeah, he's had a hamstring injury. They've had some, you know, I guess Draymond Green's been having a so-called illness. And you may have touched on this already, or we talked about it off air. And that is, you know, the Warriors went out and had a good old time the night before the Lakers game. And come on. I mean, the only other cities that you could think of that you could party harder than Los Angeles would be, you know, maybe New York and certainly Miami. So, in those cities, you know, they're notorious for that. I mean, I'll give an example to you, Joe. And you remember the old Montreal Expos baseball team. Well, the Expos did pretty well at home because people love the Expos because of the fact that you could, you know, it was a good party town. So the fact that, you know, Miami and places like L.A. are good party towns, too, certainly wasn't lost on the Warriors, and that's why, unfortunately, they got beaten so badly.
Well, maybe it's a lesson to be learned that you can't just get away with being that loose against any NBA team. I mean, the Lakers are one of the worst teams in the league, but you still have to come to play, right? I mean, does Steve Curry, think, use that, you know, the rest of the season? Hey, remember that Lakers game?
Yeah, I mean, and not only that, the Warriors already actually made history by losing that game. It's the first time ever in NBA history that the team with the worst record beat a team with a record that good, right? So
right.
As far as winning percentage goes, if they go down in NBA history until another team comes along and breaks that record, which I don't think will be done for quite some time.
Before we get to the Jim Barnett interview, there's one more thing that's still sitting in my mind. There was a recent situation, again, involves Draymond Green. You mentioned his birthday in L.A. Well, the other one was the locker room situation where, you know, he was screaming and yelling. That was the Oklahoma City game, the amazing Steph Curry shot at the end of the game. But in that game, you know, it was televised on ABC, and Lisa Salters reported on Draymond Green, you know, screaming and yelling. And she wasn't even sure right away that it was him. I felt like it was out of bounds. Now, you're a reporter who's been in these locker rooms and in baseball clubhouses. What was your reaction to that report? Do you think that was fair game?
You know what? In a way, I'd have to say yes, it is. And the only reason I say that is because of today's reporting, right? Everything's on social media now. And I will say this. After what happened after the Utah game, I'll tell you another Draymond Green story. And this happened to all of us that were in the locker room firsthand. There's a colleague of mine who works for KNBR.com, and he's one of the guys who does video, right? So, KNBR.com has a pretty good presence as far as covering games, not better than the radio station, at least. So they do full-on recaps. They have video. Anyway, he's shooting some video of Draymond, at the area where they do interviews, and he's wearing, I guess he decided to take off his collared shirt. He's wearing a Michigan T-shirt. Well, as you may know, Draymond is a proud Michigan State alum.
Right.
Well, not only did he razz the guy about his T-shirt, he wouldn't let it go. Jason, he's been interviewed by Kelly Johnson from CSN Bay Area, and she's trying to get him back on track to think about the game itself. And Draymond just was like, "I can't think right now. I lost my train of thought." But he got so agitated by seeing this Michigan T-shirt. If you look at the transcript, he's actually like telling people in the locker room, "Hey, get this guy out of here!" Like he wanted to remove this KNBR reporter for wearing a Michigan T-shirt. Give me a break. I mean, Draymond. Seriously, the guy's got a few screws loose. I can see, though, why the Warriors like having him on the team. But I'll tell you right now, the fact that he's unable to control his temper or filter what he's doing, because any other player, like I said, they would probably razz the guy about it a little bit, but they'll move on from it, right? It's not that big a deal. For Draymond, I tell you, man, it was like this guy was, you know, like, I don't know, the enemy. Like, he was just, you know, if you're talking about, like, you use the Star Wars term, like the rebels and the Empire. It's like he was like a member of the Empire. I'm like, wow. I mean, this is crazy. I just couldn't believe that he was going, you know, losing it that far off the handle. So anyway, to answer your point about Lisa Salters, yeah, she basically didn't do good journalism. But again, in this day and age with social media, a lot of things are fair game now. When you start doing stuff like that and ABC's televising your game, Draymond, you know, I can, like I said, after seeing what he did last night in the locker room against you after the Utah game, I'm kind of more convinced than ever that what she did wasn't really as out of bounds as you might think.
Well, he's got to be careful, too, about maybe getting thrown out of a key game, you know, a playoff game. he's got to control his emotions a little bit. He's way more Jake Peavy than he is Buster Posey if you make the Giants comparison, right?
Absolutely. And you know, yeah, Jake Peavy's a little off the handle too, but the difference is Draymond Green is a player on the upswing, whereas Jake Peavy, I mean, come on, he's probably playing his last year in baseball. I don't think Jake Peavy's going to be in baseball after this 2016 season.
Right. All right, well, we're going to get to the interview now. Ryan Leong with Jim Barnett, analyst for Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area on the Warriors game. And Ryan, we'll look for more from you throughout the Warriors season.
Hey, look forward to it, Joe. And I'm glad, like any other virus, it's good that we're finally going viral and we're going to spread like an infection.
Absolutely. All right, here's Ryan with Jim Barnett.
First of all, great season the Warriors are having. Just your assessment so far in this 56-6 record, if I'm correct?
Surreal. It's difficult to put into words what's happening with the team. It's difficult to put into words what's happened with Stephen Curry, the MVP of last year, and he's gotten better. And the last road trip, he was phenomenal. When he goes to Atlanta, scores 36. Then he comes back against Miami, and he gets 42. Then he goes to Orlando the next night and gets 51. Then he goes to Oklahoma City in the miracle game where he ends up with 46 and the winning shot from 35 feet out. And the way he played and the way he scored after he hurt his ankle. He's having a phenomenal season. It's fun to call that, but it's a little scary too. You have this incredible record that hasn't been duplicated this deep into the season, and you set the bar so high, you can't go any higher. They've got to win the NBA championship to make it culminate into a very successful season.
Good. I don't have to ask that question because that's where I was going to go next. Let me ask you this, though. You've seen some of the great shooters. You played alongside Rick Barry. You've seen Chris Mullin as a broadcaster. Now you see Steph Curry. I mean, is it too much to say that Steph Curry is arguably already the greatest shooter in NBA history?
Not at all. I think he is. I've been in the league since 1966, give or take a few years after I retired and before I started with the Warriors again back in 85. But I've never seen anything like him. I played with and against Pete Maravich. There's a similarity there. People always are comparing that. Pete could handle the ball as well as Stephen. He could do all of those things. He could shoot as deeply on the floor as Steph. He could go out to 35 feet and shoot, but he couldn't do it consistently. He was more of a streaky shooter. He could score. He averaged 44.2 in college. Without a three-point line, he probably would have averaged 50. Took a lot of shots to do that, but Pete was more of a scorer than a shooter, if you will, and there is a difference. And Steph is a scorer, but he's also a great shooter. I don't think there's ever been a better shooter, and there's certainly never been one off the dribble, off the bounce, like Stephen Curry. No one in the history of the league. He's the most unique shooter I've ever seen, because I've never seen players take backward dribbles and fall backwards shooting a three-pointer. Usually you have to step into that shot. He doesn't have to step into the shot. It's remarkable. He's got the quickest release. There's no doubt about that. No one's ever going to say, oh, well, there was a quicker release. Ray Allen was quick, but he wasn't as quick as Stephen Curry.
Is that kind of unfair? And we're joined by Jim Barnett, Warriors analyst here on the Sports Virus. All the criticism he's been getting, you know, most recently Oscar Robertson saying how great of a player he was, but, you know, when a guy's taking shots from half court. But in Oscar's day, as you mentioned, there was no three-pointer, so you get 2 points if you shot from 35 feet or for 5 feet.
Yeah, and I don't know where Oscar was coming from with all of that. And I really disagree 100% about the defense because, first of all, I don't remember too many double teams back when I played in the city. I'm 6 years behind Oscar, and I played against him for at least, 7 or 8 years. But here's the deal. I remember if I had a screen and roll, the center was still back in the lane. I could take a shot if I wanted, or if I wanted to drive, he was the only person I had to worry about. People didn't help from the side. People didn't help from the elbow or from the corner. And so I think the defense is tougher today. They blitz Stephen Curry at half court all the time. They double team him away from the ball. They're always grabbing hold, and that was always happened with players. But Stephen Curry, if they'd had a three-point line in my day, and Stephen Curry, you transform him back to the past instead of back to the future, back to the past, he probably averaged 40 a game because there was never a shooter like Stephen Curry in the league when I played.
You already mentioned this a little bit. You talked about the win record that the Warriors are going for. I mean, is it fair to say that the Warriors should absolutely pursue this record? I mean, you just never know when it might happen again.
I think the way they're doing it this year, and they've already got the home consecutive win record, and they better build on that because San Antonio has, the last I looked, the last game here was 39 wins straight at home, and they have 11 home games remaining. They could go to 50. They could end the season with 50 consecutive home wins. So the Warriors, what I'd like to see them do is go undefeated at home, go 41-0. That would be incredible, and then they would secure the record no matter what. But no matter what San Antonio does, I shouldn't explain there. I think the way this team is, they have to have goals, and maybe there's a little bit of right now with 20 games to go in the season, you know, maybe they've hit a little plateau, and so they have to reassess, reevaluate. I just think they work better under a little bit of pressure, so why not think about going for the record of 72-10, which is by the Bulls, and beat that record. Maybe they don't want to verbalize it. It's tough to talk about it for the next 20 games. We've been talking about it for the last 30 games, and it gets to be trite. But, you know, deep down, I think they would like to do that, and they would like to set a lot of records and be known as one of the great, great teams of all time. I'm going to caution everyone and say, you know, are they the greatest team of all time? I know this. The Chicago Bulls won 6 championships in 8 years. They won 3 in a row, 91, 92, 93. They didn't win in 94, 95. They won in 96, 97. The reason they didn't win is because Michael Jordan went and played baseball. Now, if he hadn't played baseball, would they have won 8 championships? It speaks pretty well and highly of Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls that they won 6 of 8 years in the 2 years when he was playing baseball, they didn't win. So that's the measure for me. And then, of course, you know, you can go back in the 50s and 60s, and the Celtics won 8 straight championships. But that's, you know, that's in the prehistoric days when I joined into the league, too.
Last question for you, and there is the only controversy I can see with this team right now is the little bit of, you've been reading, of course, and you know because you're around the team, the whole thing with Draymond Green and how he's trying to manage his temper. I mean, is there anything right now where the team needs to be concerned about any kind of off-court issue there?
I have to tell you the truth. I've never asked anyone in the organization about that incident. We didn't do the game that night. I observed it. I was at the top level of the stadium in Oklahoma City. I've never talked to any player about it. I've never talked to any coach about it. I know nothing more than you do. I do know this. These players and their men, professional men, they have short memories, okay? And they also understand each other. The chemistry on this team is really good. And Al Attles, the great Al Attles, always said, chemistry. You don't know where it came from, you don't know how you got it, and you don't know how you lost it. And that's the one thing, you don't want to lose your chemistry. I don't think they're in danger of that. They've got bigger goals in mind. And everyone knows who Draymond is. He's volatile. That's the way he plays. That's who he has to be. If you restricted him and said, hey, you can't ever get a technical, you can't ever open your mouth, you can't ever say something, he couldn't be the player he is. I will say this, and when I played, and that's a bad thing to say, but it was a different era, we used to get in fights all the time. We didn't have guaranteed contracts, so guys, your own team were trying to take your job, and in practice once in a while you got into fights. It never led to, you know, the harmony still was there. It's just part of it, and that's part of the competition, so I don't think there's anything to it.
Thanks so much for your time, Jim Barnett. Appreciate you being on the Sports Virus.
All right, Ryan. Thank you.